Is it apart from the realities?
It's a yes, it's different from the parts.
Can you find it somewhere? That meeting table, is it somewhere apart from these realities?
Possibly, yes.
Where is it that we can find?
Barbara was just saying that she, to her, it sounds terribly intellectual.
Mm-hmm. I wish I'd read some Greek philosophy, but I knew the Greeks spent a lot of time talking about the fact that the table was called the table, but all the tables were actually different, but you'd have to have a convenient table, and the tables actually have something in common. So perhaps you could make a bit clearer what you were saying by referring to that idea, because I'm not really... I mean, I quite see that the table is much more than just the verbal label, table. And it's much more than the attributes I happen to give to that label. But where do you go from there?
Well, the Greeks were doing something very different, that they were comparing tables to try to find what is the essential idea.
Yeah, but the idea is only, again, the label you use, isn't it?
No, for them it was much more than that. We only see the tables, and yet we must have some idea of table behind all our concepts and pictures of tables, otherwise we wouldn't be able to recognise the thing as a table. We see all sorts of varieties of tables,
yeah.
And yet we manage to class them all together.
Yeah.
So there must be some central reality
which isn't just in our mind.
But Plato's talked about a world of ideas separate from this world of...
I think Barbara was just wondering, but what I'm just wondering is some what Buddhism would say about that. How does it compare with
Plato's view?
So it's
the
exact opposite.
It's the exact opposite, in fact.
It doesn't deny Plato, surely, except what Plato says, but goes further, isn't it?
No, I think Plato goes further.
Plato
said everything the Buddhist says, but says that because we are able to have understanding, we are able to form concepts and conventions, there is something more than the particular phenomenon involved.
But I think the point that Barbara was making at the beginning, which is she said that she thought it sounded very intellectual, I think we need to know what our purpose is. Like, we can discuss for a long time different philosophies and ideas just out of academic interest, perhaps. But if our purpose is, in fact, to understand our lives better in order to live more happily and easily and help others live more happily and easily by knowing what it is our life really consists of, then we need to find out more about what it is that we think our life is so important, but what is our life at this moment? And from there, that is why Constantine has been talking about the importance of developing right understanding, right awareness, in order to understand this life better. Because we think of life as so many years, or this experience or that experience, but actually life is only what exists at this moment. And from there we then find that a lot of what we think exists at this moment are in fact only ideas or concepts. So in order to find out what are the ideas or the dreams we live in, and what it is that's actually experienced at this moment. That's why we need to begin to question the conventional terms we use, or to find out whether we're just using them for convenience, or whether we think we really exist, in order to know the difference between our dreams and actual experience. So that's why it has to begin with some intellectual understanding, but the purpose isn't just to talk and develop more academic interest, but in order to develop a deeper understanding, in order to help us lead our lives with more wisdom.
So taking realities for self, like a table or a personal chair, causes sorrow because it conditions clinging. But if one sees reality as it is, just different mental phenomena and physical phenomena which don't stay, then one doesn't cling. It's the way to eradicate clinging, right view of reality. So what you take for the table is several absolute realities, but there's no table in any absolute reality. But when there's no understanding, precise understanding of absolute reality, all these different absolute realities are joined together to form the idea of a permanent table, which is a dangerous view because it and conditioned clinging another unwholesome defines to.
But I think that could you like to really know whether there is table in reality or not?
Well, I can see that there's a table, which is something quite apart from my nation or my the word in my mind table and the way I use that mind.
What is that reality?
Well, I don't know yet, so I haven't got a complete understanding, but I can accept that there obviously is something beyond
memory of Sanskrit.
Well, no, because presumably that has some reality which doesn't depend on my memory of having seen other tables.
You mean the word or the shape?
No, the real the table. Is much more than the word.
The real table, what is that real table?
Well, I don't know, because I can only see it through my label, through the label I use.
You mean this one?
This or that one or any one.
So you
I mean, all I'm saying is I quite accept that if you use the word table, you're limiting what exists, and you're assuming that you know exactly what it is. And it might actually be lots of other things. I mean, there's a million molecules leaping around, which when I say table, I don't actually mean. So I accept that a verbal label is a very limiting thing. It's just a category, and other things lie outside that category. A chair is something different from a table, whereas in fact, in reality, they might be very similar because they're both made of wood, but I have to divide them in my mind. I can accept that, but I don't see quite where you go after that, or how you actually perceive what the reality is.
So you mean that sometimes you think of the word table,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you think of the chair, right? Different ones.
Yes.
So one knows that sometimes it's only thinking of name,
yes.
and sometimes there is another moment of thinking of chair.
Yes.
They are real. Moment of thinking is real. It's conditioned by memory.
Memory of what?
Seeing.
I suppose I've never seen one before.
One? Never. Before?
Then there would be no idea of table. Well, I could have written a book. Oh. So there's...
Before
you've
written
the
book?
So it's still memory.
Of what?
What you've read... What one has experienced through one belly. Eyes or ears, nose or tongue, body or mind.
Yeah, I think you've got a point there. You may read a description of a table in the book, but that's still very different from actually seeing a table. So there must be some leap of imagination or understanding when you go from the description to the reality and are able to recognise the reality.
Yeah. I mean, is what we're trying to get at, that we should be like a mirror from something, and detecting reality or perceiving reality without putting notions around it or preconceptions.
Yeah,
yeah.
Even one does not know yet what that word for that object is, there is memory of that object that is experienced, so that one can think about that shape and form.
Yes.
Without thinking. So it's a matter of thinking only. It's not the moment of actual seeing, which is not the moment of thinking. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in order to understand reality as it is, there can be awareness of each moment which appears
yes.
as it is. That seeing is not thinking. Mm.
And thinking is just one other action, like seeing.
Mm-hmm. That's why there can be many thoughts
yes.
of the object which is seen.
Yes.
Many thoughts of the story and the hearing. But thinking is not seeing, it's not mm-hmm. hearing either. In order to understand what is real and what is not real.
Mm-hmm. Somebody seems to be saying that you should be aware of things without being, as it were, bound by them. Or something like that. Is that what somebody was saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or imprisoned or whatever
word
it
is.
I missed the last comment.
When there is awareness of a reality, there's no attachment.
Is that, that's what you were saying, isn't it? Is this what we're thinking?
When there's awareness, there's no attachment.
There's no attachment.
It doesn't know a reality as it is. the one that is attachment that is ignorance of the characteristic of reality.
So what you have to do is recognise that you're longing for attachment, or you're feeling attachment, is just being on the phenomenon like seeing or like straight thought that wanders through your mind.
Attachment is just a reality, conditioned reality that doesn't belong to us. Not self, it's a matter of this condition. It can be the object of awareness too.
Right.
It has its own characteristic, which is different from the characteristic of other mental phenomena.
Sure, but you just recognise that it's one among many.
This moment can be awareness of new reality.
But still, is there some self that says, I am, there is a being of attachment going on in my head, I must get rid of it? So what is it then? It's just another thought.
For me, it's another moment of experiencing, which is also conditioned. We're used to thinking of this, I'm thinking at this moment, but the moment of thinking, there must be awareness, or I must have some quick result. There must be awareness, or I must have. It's just a moment of thinking, which is conditioned at that moment.
When there's right awareness of reality, there can't be the concept of I am aware, because it wouldn't be right awareness. When there's awareness, it's awareness itself, which is aware of reality.
When we go up to the mirror and we look in the mirror, it's a moment of seeing, which sees just what it sees in the mirror at that moment, and immediately there's the idea of looking at Julia's face or Sarah's face in the mirror. But that moment of thinking or recognising Julia's face or Sarah's face is different from the moment of just seeing what it sees, the object in the mirror. So we can see there's one moment of seeing which sees its object, and another moment of thinking.
What does this help you, Sarah? I don't understand what that's helping. I know I'm being flat faced, but
no.
What does this help if you see Julia's face on the table?
The concept of self, clinging to the concept of self.
But you can't help seeing your face out there. It's your face. It's a fact.
Certainly, yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep quiet.
I'd like to go back to a question that Constantine asked earlier, which was about visible object and whether it has length or breadth or size or distance or dimension. What it's seeing, does it have dimension of any kind?
We certainly react to it in different ways, which suggests that it has certain properties.
We all know it in turn, we kicked it, for instance.
It being a visible object or a table?
Table, whether it's a visible object or a table, it's not going to happen.
Can we kick or hit visible object?
Not
if we are hurt by something, it is the hardness of that object that hurts us, right? If we knock into the table, it's the hardness of the wood. Can one experience hardness through eyes? Can one see hardness?
Well, certainly that's where memory would come in again, isn't it? Because you would remember the last time you tricked one. You would therefore remember the hardness through your eyes, as it were. You could see it was hard.
But it's not seeing hardness.
Isn't it?
Well, one can see, experience physical object, and by memory, one can know that there is hardness there. But what we're trying to look at is the nature of physical object. One can't hear hardness or smell it or see it. One can only experience hardness through contact, what we call. So if one doesn't see hardness, what does one see?
think I see it. I mean, I see roughly, I think what you're getting at is that, you know, that reality is something apart from oneself. This is really what you're saying, isn't it? I mean, self is totally irrelevant in all this.
Well, what we're trying to... Mum asks how it helps. How it helps is that the different experiences in our life are the different experiences as they are anyway. We're used to thinking that this experience or that experience is oneself. What we're just trying to do is find out more what it is that we're used to taking for ourselves. And usually, like Kunzuch Chin said at the beginning, we think this is all the self. But what is the self? Is it this or this or this? Because what is experienced when we do this is hardness. And immediately there's the idea of my face or something. But what's actually experienced through the body sense at that moment is hardness. When we open our eyes, what is seen is visible object. So is it this seeing that is self, or is it the hardness, or is it the softness, or is it the sound that is heard through the ear sense? In fact, what we think of as being our life and ourselves is so important are these different experiences through the different senses and through the mind, which, because there's no awareness, we confuse together and think of as being ourselves. It doesn't mean that we have to start having different experiences or leading a different kind of life or trying not to think of teapots or tables, but while leading our life or having these different experiences, we can begin to understand a little clearer what is actually experienced rather than what we're used to thinking the experience, so that we begin to understand that the self we think of as being so important, that can control life or can do this or can do that, are in fact only different conditioned phenomena which appear one at a time.
Clinging to self. The clinging to self causes a lot of problems, a lot of sorrow.
And we often, we hear or we discuss the danger of, we all know about how being selfish isn't good or how clinging to self isn't a good thing. But if we're more precise, we can begin to find out that it's not just a matter of not being selfish or not thinking of oneself so much, but what is it that we think is a self anyway? So it's not a matter of trying not to think of oneself, but beginning to understand what it is that all day long, every day, we think is a self at all. It is worth turning to. So when we think we think that we touch a table, but actually what's experienced it through the body sense is harmless, and it's immediately afterwards it's the idea of a table, which is a different experience.
What caused the harmless to you?
If one thinks that one can see people in dream, it's wrong. One is so attached to which object it is seen.
What is seen?
In reality, what is seen?
It's when light strikes both my eyes.
That is thinking.
Not thinking. When I think about what
the light told me. Even we don't use the word visible object at all, whatever is seen is a reality that can be seen. If one thinks that one sees people and things wrong or right, because only visible object can be seen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of developing right understanding. In order to eliminate the idea of seeing things, which is not anatta because it's a thing. Seeing being, person, people, is wrong because it's not anatta. Anatta means there is no being, no thing, no being. Only different realities which can be experienced through different realities. Like visual objects can be seen.
Yes.
That is right.
Yes.
So if one thinks that one sees a being or a thing, that is wrong.
But on the other hand, you can't stop the thought. You see it, then you think about
it. No, he doesn't stop it, but developing understanding so that one can really see all dharmas are anatta. No sense.
Yes, okay. But how do you develop that understanding?
by understanding object of awareness in order that awareness can be aware correctly. It's not a matter of concentrating on teapot, because that is not right understanding of visual object as it is.
So, are we getting back to meditation? Are we getting on to meditation?
What is meditation if it's not the development of understanding from intellectual understanding to the direct experiencing the true nature of reality, which now arising and falling away? All conditioned realities are not permanent. So it means seeing now is not permanent. Visual object which is seen is not permanent. Any reality which arises falls away. This can be directly experienced, and that is meant by become enlightened, be able to eradicate wrong view and unwholesomeness, stage by stage.
So an enlightened person can still think of people, but he doesn't think of people with wrong view, that they exist for some time.
If it's the other way, I don't think that it will help one to understand or debunk your understanding of this kind of feeling, hearing, sound, touching, touching, feeling.
So the right understanding of the Eightfold Path is conditioned by many moments of studying, intellectual understanding, of thinking, of pondering about.
So if the table is not a physical object, the person is not, what is a physical object?
Whatever is seen is a reality.
But what we see is table and person.
No, visible object is seen. It appears, just develop right understanding of it, that there is no being, no thing, invisible object. But samya marks the sign of solidity with different shapes and different forms of beings and things.
What do you mean the sign of solidity? I thought we were saying, or I was saying, you can't see solidity through eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So how can samya mark solidity?
Because, as we just said a moment ago, this visible object, short or long, can it be short or long? Visible object itself cannot. Because visible object depends on the four primary rupas.
But I think it has some dimension. Because
of the solidity.
One doesn't see 360 degrees.
Because of the solidity and other primary rupas.
So what we think of as being ourselves are in fact these different moments of experiencing, these different realities which experience an object, such as seeing and hearing and thinking, all those realities which are experienced, such as the sound, the visible object, the heart, and so
on. When we measure something, we measure visible object or solidity.
When I measure something, object.
You measure visible object or solidity?
Solidity.
Mm-hmm. That's why visible object itself is not short and long.
Right.
Only the four primary rupas can be measured.
So how does memory
it marks the sign of solidity?
The sign of solidity.
Mm-hmm. That's
from what you're saying.
The meaning of nimitta sign. And anukayamsana details. If sanya does not mark the sign of solidity, we cannot touch anything. As touching or holding table.
Why not?
How can you know that it's done if sanya does not mark the sign of solidity? In Tipitaka there are many places about nimitta and anupayamsana, and this is the meaning of sun.
So it's a way for the sign of solidity can appear through the eye.
Because whenever there are the four primary rupas, there must be another four, and one is wisdom of the
Kana. But solidity itself cannot appear through the eye.
Never.
What are we measuring precisely if we get a tape?
Solidity.
Solidity.
Mm-hmm. You cannot measure visible object itself. Like you cannot touch visible object at all. Mm-hmm. It seems like you can touch any visible object.
It doesn't seem like a measure solidity though.
Yes, whenever you measure, you touch solidity and moves on. That's why even the blind can know by touching how long.
So you touch solidity but not the physical object.
Right. This object can never be touched. Whenever they're touching, it's touching up.
Yeah. In fact, you can only really conceive of it.
Right. So don't take this world object for anything or being that is right understanding. In order to see that seeing arises in false way, not permanent, and visible object also arises in false way. All conditioned realities are not permanent.
Yes.
This can be proved. Not just for reading or thinking.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
It's perhaps a little changing the subject a little. But before I ask you about the rules of Buddhist, the monks have rules. Most southern Buddhist countries have 27 rules which they stick very rigidly to. And I'm very intrigued. Really curious to know why these rules are so important. And before, when I talked to you, you said that it's very important for a monk to know why he's going to become a monk. But maybe you can sort of talk a little bit about this so we can all understand it.
In the Buddhist time,